Matthew chapter 11. Last 96 hours have been, I have not, it's just like a steady drumbeat, last 96 hours. Satanic attack, devil's attacking, devil. You know what I mean? I don't know if you hear that, I don't know if you've been in this thing long enough, but you come under attack certain times. But you got to realize this, if you're going to serve God, if you're going to go out and you're going to do what God's called you to do, and you're going to see souls saved and going to see lives changed. We've seen multitudes of people over the last 10, 12 years that are saved. We've seen things happen in this church in the last year that is just amazing. And to get through that and expect, if you was to expect, okay, I'm going to do all that, and you're seeing souls saved, lives changed, and even in your own families, if you're a mother or father and you're raising your kids and they're seeing Christ in your life, he's never going to sit by and go, man, great. Well, mess with them, great. No, you're going to come under attack, but you got to realize that you've got a worthy adversary. You've got an adversary who doesn't attack the way you think he would sometimes. If you really got to go back into Genesis chapter 3 and to see that he's very subtle. He doesn't do stuff that's overt at the beginning. I said this a lot in men's conferences. I say the horns, tail, and pitchfork sold separately. He don't ever show up as that little red dragon standing there ripping your family apart or splitting your church up and running people out and seeing people go back into addiction, see divorce happen. That doesn't happen on the beginning. That happens very subtly, and you're just having a conversation. Amen? You understand? And then it says in the Bible, says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and higher powers. Wickedness in high places. We are wrestling against the devil. If you're born again, child of God, if you've been saved, you're in a wrestling match. The one thing I know about wrestling matches is this. I was at first you think about, man, you know, wrestling. I understand wrestling, right? Wrestling, but it's not wrestling. It's wrestling. And if you're going to be a good... Wrestling is probably the most disciplined sport of all the sports combined. I'll just kind of do this. Really technical wrestling in high school. You got to put in some effort. You got to put in some time. You have to make weight. You have to go through skills. You got to have moves and counter moves. Amen. If he does this, you're going to do that. And then another thing about that is kind of weird is you can't. And this will kind of go with what the message is tonight. You can't carry a lot into the battle. They make you wear this thing called a singlet. Is that correct? Okay, it's the most modest apparel there is. Not. Amen? It's the least amount of everything. Amen? And you got to walk out there because you don't want anything where they can grab hold. You want the least material, and you want to be able to grapple with that opponent. Amen? So that's kind of where we're going to go at this evening. I just want you to realize that when you get into dark places, when you get into dark times in ministry, and you will, you better have some moves and some counter moves. And then you better have, amen, you better have the ability to look and let some things go. I like that word. I'll just go ahead and use it since we're there. You need to get down to the singlet, amen. You need to get down to where there's not a lot of stuff. And that's where I was this week. I was starting out about Sunday. I started hearing these messages about you're a high-valued target. Amen? And if you're a mom that's serving God, you're a high-valued target. Amen? If you're a father that is serving God, whoa, man, you're on the devil's number one hit list. Amen? Because we're few and far between. If you're a godly man living in your home, trying to serve God, trying to raise your family, trying to show an example of Christ in your home and in your community, you are a high value. You are going to get attacked. Amen? It's going to happen. Amen? If you're a pastor, if you're a song leader, if you're a Sunday school teacher, if you're a missionary, if you have a ministry, you are going to come under attack. You better know what to do. You better be trained up and expect it. Come. What's? Have you ever been? Have you ever been in a fight and you didn't know you was going to get in a fight? I'm not talking to a fighting crowd, but I have got into a fight before, and I was standing there talking to the old boy, and I thought we was friends, and the next thing you know, he punched me in the nose. It's hard to fight when you've been punched in the nose, because automatically your tears start coming out like crazy. But you only got two options. Get whooped, or start fighting back, amen? Or run like crazy, which I mean, that's an option. Don't look too good, but it's an option, all right? So you better have, you might stop getting beat down. But it's understandable. But I want you to get this understanding. I am not talking, if you think I'm not talking about in the physical, but a lot of times in the spiritual realm, these fights and these blows are harder to take than you think they are. And they don't come, it's things that you, that's the devil. And everything, devil's not always in the hairdryer. He's not always in the lights. He's not always in this and that. Hey, but he is in some other stuff, amen? Sometimes we make boneheaded decisions. Sometimes we do dumb stuff. But the devil does get involved when you're tired. You might want to take a note right here. When you're tired, when you're hungry, or when you're emotionally upset. He loves to pray. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you, if you seen somebody who's worn out and they're your enemy, wouldn't you attack when they're wore out? They look tired. They look a little flustered. I think I'll pour on right here. I think I could probably get an edge on them. If you're tired and you've been burning the candle at both ends, guess what? He might show up, amen? Guess what? If you're hungry, I know it. Sometimes you got to go and go and go, and you're feeding everybody, you're taking care of everybody, and everybody says, hunger, really? Yeah. Amen, really, yes. I know some of that. God, I could go ahead and preach for myself right here. Hey, the devil loves to attack me and my appetite. Amen, he does. Well, hey, sometimes don't eat at all, sometimes don't stop. Can we be real? I mean, sometimes I'll go all the way to this 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I've done run to Chattanooga back and forth. I'm like, man, I ain't eat. Forgot to eat. Well, I don't forget when I stop. Then I can't. Whoa, right? The devil loves to attack then because guess what? You're not taking care of yourself. That's one place. You're emotional. Amen? Where you're at emotional. You're mad, hurt, upset, frustrated, and the bubble's not in the middle. You know what I mean when I say the bubble's not in the middle. Hey man, when it's level, when everything's level, you can make good decisions. You can say, there's times when me and my wife, when we see the devil coming, we'll look at each other and the bubble's in the middle and we go, that's the devil. Amen? But when the bubble's way off, whether I'm mad or sad or aggravated or frustrated or I didn't get enough sleep or I didn't eat, well guess what? The bubble's out of the middle and what happens? You don't know where the attack's coming from, and the next thing you know, you're in the midst of a fight, and you're like, well, what's going on? It's this, it's that, it's that, and it's really not. It's what happens is he's attacking, and you just didn't see it coming because you've got one of those three things going on. Or maybe more. Them are just three big ones I can give you. Amen? When I was putting this together, God said, you've got to watch out for these things. And I do. And so will you. Amen? I realized, man, I was going through... When I want to preach this, I'm going to take some notes out of this bag right here in a little bit. That's something a little bit later on. But I noticed this week I had an issue, and then all of a sudden somebody in my life had an issue. Amen? And then I went and was talking to other people who were going through some of their issues. Amen? And then all of a sudden the devil, God, I wish I could really preach right here and tell you, sometimes the devil will just slide one, pow. Now, you know you're dealing with this situation. You know that's going on. But all of a sudden, something comes in and hits you that you didn't realize. Amen? Because you're engaged in so many different things. God, I wish, if y'all would just get right here with me. Have you been in a, you're in a situation where you're handling somebody, maybe somebody in your family is sick, or maybe they're going through a crisis. And all of a sudden, you're like, okay, I'm going to give them some advice, and I'm going to help them, and I'm going to wrap my arm around them, and I'm going to do this. And the next thing you know, now you're dealing with a little bit of a crisis of your own, and then all of a sudden somebody comes along and says something that just runs right into your that place that you know that you get aggravated or frustrated or it hurts you, and the next thing you know, you've got all this stuff going on, and you've got their stuff and your stuff, and you got the devil wearing on. Come on, y'all help me. Hey man, I'm preaching. I know it. I know this stuff right here. I know it because I've been in ministry so long now. I can tell you I've done this so many times, but it hardly ever changes. It'll happen to you and happen to you and happen to you. So guess what? Next thing you know, you got the devil with his arm around your throat and he stinks. He stinks. Hey man, his breath stinks. He stinks. He's all over you. Now, he looked great when you started. Amen. I'll preach that. He looked good when you started because he's a seductive devil when he starts. But when he gets wrapped around you, he's got a spirit of kind of like a python. He'll get wrapped around of you, and the next thing you know, you just can't get loose. Preach! That's preaching right there. You better hold on to that. That makes sense. Have you ever felt like you're being suffocated? So this week I got in the midst of this thing, and I'm just going to tell you the way I did it, where I seen it in the spiritual mind. I had picked up a lot of bags. Amen. I don't know if any of y'all been to the airport before, but after you get off the flight, you go to this place called baggage claim, and the bags will come around through there, and all your bags, you got to pull them off that conveyor, and you carry them to your car or wherever you're going. You carry them, right? Okay, sometime about yesterday, I realized, I'm like, dude, I have picked up a bunch of bags that don't belong to me. Amen? I'm literally standing there with this bag, don't belong to me, but I'm carrying it. See, yes, I'm carrying it. I'm probably preaching to about one or two. I get it. Me and one other person. But hey, you showed up. I'm glad. Got one. There's a bag. I'm carrying it. It ain't mine, but I'm carrying it. And now I'm responsible for it. I'm thinking about it. Worried about the contents. Worried about everything that's going on in it. And it ain't even my bag. Amen? Then I got one that is my bag. But hey, I don't need to carry it either because I should be letting God help me carry the bag, but I've got it and a bag that doesn't belong to me. Oh, I'm preaching better than most people are going on right now. I hope it's just one of the things that's just absorbing in their mind. Amen? But then all of a sudden, I sit down and somebody, the devil, amen, gives me a jab. Poof. You ain't doing this or you ain't doing that. Whole nother bag. And this bag stinks. This bag is rotten. It stinks. It's miserable. And you know what? You should have never picked it up, but you got it. Some of y'all, man, I know you. So I got you. It's cool. It's on the side of the pillar right here. But let me tell you something. I do this. Amen. I pick up all the bags. Amen. If I like to solve the problem. I don't like to look at it, let it fail. Let's get the thing took care of. Let's jump in there and get a salve and put on it. Let's put a band. Let's do something. Let's not just sit there and look at it. So I'm holding somebody else's bag of problems, trying to figure out what they should do when they don't even care. They don't even want to fix the problem. They don't even want to do nothing about it. And you're sitting there trying to fix something or help somebody, and they don't even want to touch it. And you got your stuff. And God's screaming at you. You ain't never been able to fix it. You ain't never going to fix it. Let me keep working on it. Y'all should have shouted right there. There's a shouter. And then there's that last one. You should have never, you knew better when you walked over to it. When you heard it, you should have just dismissed it. But you can't help it because the devil's good, my friend. He will jump on you, amen. He will jump on you before you know it. And God, I wish I could.
I said it four times since it's happened. You know what I said, Scott? I don't care. That's a lie. I don't care. Ain't bothering me. I'm over it. Not even close. Because if the right buttons hit, if the right word's said, I will tell you about every second of it. I ain't over it because guess what? Let me tell you what I thought about it. If you was over it, you'd say, I don't even know what you're talking about anymore. If you was over it, you'd have been like, I done got over it. We don't, do we, sometimes. But then all of a sudden, God, man, I could stop right there and just cry. All of a sudden, God said, hey, you want me to get in a fight with you? I mean, you want me to come into the ring? God, I hate, Scott, I do this. Sometimes I get the wrestling from school, then I get the old WWE stuff. You want somebody to come down and help you? God, I know there's none of you kids raised in the 80s, but God, you wanted to see somebody else, a superstar, come down and help me out, right? Okay, if you still want to get in technical wrestling, every once in a while, God, come on, help me preach, God. Every once in a while, I'll be all right. Listen, hey, your coach, he's doing the stuff we've been practicing about for years. Use your technique. Block him here. Do that. I've told you 100 times in practice. Do the what I told you. And then you're sitting there going, oh, I say I'm not a wrestler, but oh, he's got that, so I'm supposed to do this. I've been sitting here wondering why he's got that going on when I should have done what I'm supposed to do. Preaching now, ain't we? Check this out. This come out of nowhere. I'm sitting there, doing your thing. Battlefield up here. Amen. Your worst battlefield you're ever going to fight on is the one in your mind. You go tell everybody. It just is. Ain't nobody dying on crosses and crucifixes. Ain't being people being headed over here. And when it happens, we'll call it. But guess what? That ain't going on here. The worst battlefield you're going to be going on is in your mind as a Christian a lot of times in America. Verse 28. Come unto me. 11:28. I'll give you time. I hear pages flipping. It's right here. If you don't have this in your repertoire, you better start practicing tomorrow. Amen? You better go to this is wrestling practice. You better show up with your singlet on. Amen? Because this is what God told me. Amen? This is what God said. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Whew. Try not to do this without a spiritual fit. I don't know how to do stuff without. I just said, drop it. Drop it. Drop all the stuff. Put it down. Man, it's like prying a steering wheel out of somebody's hand that don't want to stop driving. Put it down. Okay, I'll give you a... Right? Put it down. One right back up after another. In our mind, we pick them right back up. But God's already said, come unto me. Are you glad that this scripture's here? Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Not the ones who figured it out. Not somebody that ain't struggling. He said, this is the disciples. This is the people that believe. He said, if you're burnt down, come. Come on. I got some rest for you. Put your junk down. Some of y'all are carrying a bunch of junk, and you getting some places like I get some dark places, and I sit there and think, what? This is what I'm going to do. God. Done that lately? This is what I'm going to do. And that's the last thing. That's the last thing you want to say is this is what I'm going to do. You put it all down and say, God, you tell me what to do. And if you don't say a word, I'm not doing anything else until you tell me to do the next thing. Woo-hoo. Tough? Yes. Relief? Like I'll get out. And I would love to sit up here tonight and tell you,
this is how I did it. I'm still in the process. I'm still letting it go. I'm still, I'm saved. I'm in God's marvelous light. But sometimes to get out of some of the messes we get into, I have to realize that I've got to repeat this move. Listen, a wrestling match, if you ever watch one, it's continuous movement. It's a chokehold to another move, to another move, to another move. And sometimes you got to go back to the first one you did, if I'm not mistaken. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Listen who God is. He's meek and lowly. God is not prideful. He is not brash. He is meek and lowly. He will treat the other person. He will treat the people like they are respected. He will come in and say, I don't want to fight. I don't want to wrestle with you. I don't want to wrestle these situations. I'm not going to fight the fight. I'm laying it all down. His spirit is meek and lowly. Man, when you really learn of who He is, you let go of what you're going to do. I will attack you. I will say that. I will do. I will go. I will make things happen. God says, no, you won't. If you learn of me, you'll get real. Listen, you need to write this down. If you want to be successful in ministry, life, being a parent, you get low and then you'll get up. Terrible, terrible. It's opposite of anywhere else. You've got to get low. The lower you go, the higher you'll sail. The lower you go, the higher you'll sail. You will never in ministry get higher. God, the last thing Jesus did with His disciples, very last thing, He said, this is the most important lesson I can give you. He got up from the table, put on a servant's clothes, and washed their feet. The church is so beautiful today. We are so stinking beautiful. We don't believe in foot washing. I don't believe in foot washing either. It was a whole different time. It was not something that you had to do. But what Jesus was doing was saying this, I will touch you in your nastiest place because I will get to the lowest place because I am the highest place. I will seek the lowest place because I am the highest place. And He said, if you ever do it this way, if you'll seek the lowest place, you will find the highest places. But you can't get to the high places in ministry until you're willing to get in the lowest places. And I'm talking about in the nastiest of nasties, the worst of the worst with the worst people, and get nasty. And you say, what do I do? Do I go down there? And you go down there and you sit down there beside them and you say, I love you right where you're at because Christ loved me right here where you are at. That's how you do it. There's no special recipe. There's no, you get low. Because guess what? God got pretty low for us, didn't He? He became a man. God wrapped Himself in flesh. Came down out of heaven. And became less than the angels. And if you think that's, well, you know, that's a huge deal. Every time I get my mind wrapped around it, I think of Him on the cross and I think of myself. I think about this, Him on the cross, just the way they handled Him. If you've never been here for a pageant or a play and you watch Kyle during the play, he is a Roman soldier. He's calm and collected back there in that booth, but if you ever let him be a Roman soldier, the first time I said, who in the world is that guy? But it brought me to thinking, that's how it was worse than that. They were abrasive. They were hard. They were hurting Jesus. They were throwing Him around. They were nailing His hands to the cross. Their feet to the cross. Hold, and cursing Him and saying, you ain't nothing. And I think to myself all the time, what, man, what a contradiction. What a contradiction. Him letting the thing that He created brutalize Him just to save us. So every time you feel like you're being brutalized, you just say, God, Jesus done it. I can do it. I can get low. I can bend my will. I can let God mold me and make me to come up. You want to be a great minister? You want to be great in anything? You want to be great parents? Man, let your kids see you worship God no matter what. They don't want to see you complaining and mad all the time about everything. Let them see you be happy because no matter what situation you're in, God's in it.
God's met every one of your needs. If you've made it this far, He has. Verse 30, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I said I was going to do this. I got a little bit of a social media presence, very small. Got some people I know from around the country, and I said, hey, y'all give me some topics, some things you need to let go, and I'll preach two or three of them. And I was going to have my lovely assistant help me, but she goes, well, you can do it. So I'm going to go through three different ones, and they're all not the same, I promise. And I'm not picking them out. I'm just going to put three up on here, and then I'm going to go through them because I said I would. And this is some of the stuff. Because when God put this message on my heart, He said, hey, maybe there's some people there tonight that's got some stuff that they just won't let go of. So we just cast three lots right here. Let's figure out what they are, and maybe I can help you, help me. Oh, gosh. You ready? Disappointments. Do you have disappointments? Man, I've got some disappointments. I thought about this one as we looked at the list. Disappointments. Things you wish you'd do. Amen? Things you wished you'd have done, wish you'd done better. And you're in a place in life now that the devil wears you out and beats you up. And you pick that bag up all the time. And maybe you got some help telling you, man, I wish I'd have done better with my life. I wish I hadn't have got messed up in drugs. I wish I hadn't have stole. I wish I hadn't have lied. I wish I hadn't have got a divorce. I wish I hadn't have got run out on that job. I wish I hadn't gossiped. I wish I hadn't have backbited. Man, I wish I hadn't have done these things. And right? Somebody said, well, how do you fix that, friend? You say, you got those disappointments. What do? You can't do anything about your past except for repent from it. But then you know what you got to do? You got to be a better you. You got to be a better you. Amen? That way, from that day forward, I might not be able to change anything I've done in my past. But what I can do is I can be a better me today and a better me tomorrow. And if any of those people I've hurt, I can make reconciliation with them. That means I can do better by them tomorrow. Now, if they want me to go back and live in that, I can't. But what I can do is I'll do everything I can in my power to be better now. I'll be honest now. I'll be truthful now. I'll be clean now. I won't talk about you now. I'm not going to murmur and complain now. I'm just going to do my best now. Can I go a little bit deeper? Say yes, I'll help you. Listen, here's one in here. I know it's in here, but I'm going to get this one. There's one big disappointment in here. It's parental disappointment. I didn't do right by my kids. Man, let me go here first. My parents didn't do right by me. Woo! How many of you here, I will never be like my dad. I'll never be like my mom. I'll never be like that situation. Well, guess what? And you end up being worse sometimes. Amen? Parent disappointment. Some people ask me, I'm disappointed on how I became a parent. You know what I told them? Be a better parent today. Make your mind to be a better parent now. Well, I ain't got custody. I ain't got them in my home. I ain't got this. Doesn't matter. Absolutely doesn't matter. You know what matters? Is you be a healthy you, mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, absolutely spiritually. That way, if they do, when they do, if God's by His grace and His mercy, they come back into your life, you'll be healthy enough to have a great relationship with them. Amen. I want to be right where I need to be if they ever do come. Amen. If they ever do it that way. But either way it goes, I'll be a better me. You know, the devil loves to live in disappointments. You know why? Because you keep comparing yourself to your old you, and that just gives you an excuse to stay right where you're at. That's exactly what the devil wants you to do, is live in your past, live in that rearview mirror, and talk about how bad it was. Praise God. Guess what? It's 24 hours ago. That's done. Guess what? I'm going to be a better me. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to pray. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to get involved in doing some great stuff. And praise God, before you know it, 4 or 5 years of rocking around, and all the people who know you will know you for what you're doing now, and what nothing about what you did before. I run into people still this day, and they'll say, man, I'll tell you this one. We're riding down the road one time. We're talking about drinking and things like that. And I mentioned the fact I did it. And I remember my son's 13. He looks over at me and goes, you, Dad? You? I'm sitting there thinking, I'm like, oh my gosh, his whole life. He don't know anything about me other than a man of God. His whole life, 13 years. Man, there's people that walk around, they don't know me nothing but that. There's some other people that know me for a lot worse. But wouldn't it be cool for everybody in the room to look at you and go, no, I wouldn't expect anything but great stuff from you. Amen? That's how you beat disappointment. You don't live there anymore. You change your address. Amen?
The devil will wear you out. Listen, I'm going to preach one more point about this, the children thing. Because the devil will wear you out right here. Well, your kids aren't all living for God and they're not doing all that. Let me tell you how good God is. Are they healthy? Are they eating? Do they have homes? I want to tell you this. You did a great job. Praise God. Let go and let God. Let go. Now, I ain't telling you not to miss them. I'm talking about pray for them. Tell them the truth when you get a chance in love. And praise God, let God work on them. You didn't get saved because your mom and daddy. You got saved because of God too. Amen? Some of us think, man, it'll be because of me because my kids are going to do so good. No, it'll be because God brings them to conviction. They repent, ask Him to be the Lord of their life, and He changed their life. It's going to be, you give them a good environment, it helps. But praise God, if they're 18 and above, and they're alive, they're doing well, breathe, rock on. Live for God to your best ability. Amen? Some of y'all need to hear that. I need to hear y'all never, you weren't there for, but pray, you're alive. Amen? Discouragement. Whew. Yes, discouragement. Always, there's discouragements. I got this one on the way up here. I just want to give it to you. Sometimes we got a bad perspective on discouragement. I'm not where I want to be. I'm not as good as them, and I'm not good as this person. I ain't got that job. I ain't got that house. I ain't got that education, and I don't got that kind of marriage, and I don't have this kind of kids. But look back to when you met Jesus. Huh? Man, 2004, I didn't know who Jesus. I couldn't tell you one book of the Bible. Don't know any of the apostles or the disciples. Didn't know anything about it. Didn't know anything about heaven. Huh? Wasn't a good father, wasn't a good husband. Removed from there, guess what? I ain't where I want to be. I'm discouraged in some areas, but praise God, it could be a whole lot worse. Amen? Sometimes you got to look at where you're at. Sometimes you got to remember, hey, wait a minute, praise God, discouragement. That starts in here, amen? You got to get some grace and mercy and love in there and say, wait a minute. Why should I be discouraged? And it'd help you to do some comparisons. Amen? I have started to learn to be a lot more happy and content with where I am because as a pastor, I end up in the hospital quite a bit. And there's many a time that I get back to my car and shut the door and raise my hand and say, God, thank you so much for one more day. Amen? If I end up in that situation, praise God, I'll trust you there. But my God, listen, if you ain't been to Erlanger in a while or down there to the memorial, praise God, on a Monday through Thursday or Monday through Friday, there ain't a parking spot nowhere. That'll tell you something. There's not a park. You'll walk around forever trying to find a spot. Amen? Every once in a while, you just run your little hand up and say, praise God, I'm not sick. I'm not hurt. I'm not dying. You might all have all kinds of discouragements. The devil might point out all your little flaws. You didn't lose 10 pounds. You didn't get that raise. Oh, Lord help us, so-and-so didn't like you. My gosh. If you got into serving God to get everybody to like you, it ain't going to happen. Amen? Matter of fact, you might be standing all alone. Christ did it. They smoked the shepherd and they looked around and guess what? Where'd I all go? Amen? Fear and anxiety. I'm going to do this one really quickly. Fear and anxiety. Whatever you're fearful of, you'll be angry at. It's the fear of the unknown. Perfect love casteth out all fear. What are you fearful of? Whatever you're afraid of, that's what you'll be the maddest at. So whatever you seem to get mad at the most, that's the thing you're afraid of the most. Amen? And you know what casts out fear? The love of Christ gets in there. Because before you have Christ, before you surrender that, the devil, that's the number one thing going on in this country today. I worked with men for like 7 to 8 years, and about every guy that came into our recovery program from the age of 20 to 28, listen, the number one thing that's wrong with you, I deal with anxiety. I deal with fear. If they ever get saved and born again, the anxiety level drops tremendously because they have an expected end.
Amen. And you as a child of God have an expected end. Another thing, I'm going to help you right here in this too. If you have something that you're anxious about and you're fearful about, and I know how the devil works. He usually works like this. You're going to be all alone. You're going to have no help. Nobody's going to come and get, you know, help you. So-and-so's going to die. Somebody's going to get hurt. She's going to leave you. You ain't going to keep the job. They're going to run you off. That's one of mine. Gosh, man, preacher. You've got to absolutely speak truth to yourself. God is in control of my life. And everything He's doing in my life is going to work out to my good. Even if it feels like it ain't. If you put your trust and faith in Christ, you can cast out fear in your life by speaking the truth, speaking the Word of God, and praying to God. God, that's the one thing the devil hates for you to do, is to crawl in that place where you go to and pray. Because if you start talking to God, all the other stuff starts disappearing really, really quick. Have you ever noticed prayer is the hardest thing to do as a Christian as far as the singular thing you do? You know why? Because you'll find everything else to do but pray. Call somebody, talk to them about, talk this, talk that. But if you ever get alone with God, you'll walk out of there. I love that little picture. There's a little thing that we see a lot. You go in there looking like a kitten, you come out looking like a lion. Amen? Because there's the truths of God, that you're not in this fight alone, that you've got an expected end. Heaven is your eternal home, and everything in between is working for your good. Man, if you ever figure that out, man, it's hard to scare somebody. It's hard to scare somebody that really trusts in God. When you do get scared, you have somebody to turn to. Now listen, I'm gonna just break this down here at this bottom one. If you constantly deal with anxiety, constantly deal with fear, your prayer life needs to be ramped up, triple. I mean, you need to talk to God a lot more. Amen? Because I'm telling you, you'll get answers straight from God. Amen? And a lot of times it'll come through the Word of God. Amen? That's where I'll pray, and I'm waiting for God's audible. Please speak to me. I'll start reading the chat. Oh, there's the answer. Let's all stand. Hopefully those have been helpful to you. I said I would do them. If God spoke to your heart throughout this message, if you're struggling in any area, man, learn this tool right here. Matthew chapter 11, 28 through 30. This maneuver. And one big thing to help you right now is start coming and praying in this altar. Amen? That's where business will really get done. Amen? In this altar, in your prayer closet at home, seek the Lord. Amen? If you got big issues in your life and the devil's wearing you out, stop dropping some stuff. Stop carrying all the baggage and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And seek the Lord. Amen?